Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Hello and welcome to Owl Post as it is freshly delivered for you this week. We are super excited to be back here as we dive into Chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix with a peck of owls. And I am never alone here as we dig into more Owl Posts because with me, as she is every week, is the wonderful and fantastic Drea Kaufman.
Woo! Like a beast. A fantastic beast.
Ooh. All right. Yeah, now I know where to find them.
Yeah. Thanks, Newt.
Oh, man. I do love me some Newt. Anyway, we're very excited to be covering that movie on the 602 Club soon, so make sure you look for that. But, yeah, I'm just really excited to be, like, I know I say that a lot about when we talk about things because I'm really excited, but it's just really good to be in this book. And the first chapter had me so primed to really dive into what's going to happen. And I'm glad we're here at chapter two because this thing just hits the ground running.
It does. And when he says he's excited, guys, he actually is pretty excited. He always says he's excited, but he really genuinely is always excited.
I'm excited. Well, not as excited as Miss Fig, who is excited in the sense that she is wanting to murder somebody. And
she's like uppity.
Yeah. Yeah. And very animated at this moment as still yelling about Madungus Fletcher, who has left, and how she would flay him alive if she could, basically, and how she had put one of her cats on the job to watch Harry while he was gone. And he's like, wait, you're a witch? And she's like, I'm a squib, which Madungus knows full well, which is why he should have been here to help you with the Dementors, but he left and I warned him not to. Like, she gets really animated and you just can tell that her face is just getting redder and redder and redder and redder.
And I love that she ends up kind of screaming at Dudley at some point. She's like, get up off the ground.
Yeah.
And then she keeps going on. And then she's like, I said, get up. You know, she's just like freaking out at him. It's hilarious. She's so much feistier in the book than she is in the movie. In the movie, she's sort of timid and quiet and, you know, afraid. And in this case, she's just sort of enraged.
Well, and it's something that I think, you know, because we're in the book too, we just have more time. But yes, I love because, you know, Harry puts it together. Oh, he's the one who disapparated from in front of their house. And that was where the crack comes from. And he's like, wait, you know Dumbledore? And she's like, duh. Who doesn't know Dumbledore?
Who doesn't know Dumbledore?
It's just so I love fantastic. That moment. Yeah. Well, and it too, like, you get this whole thing. Like, she's complaining about Madungus being gone, but it comes out that she's worried about Harry with the, you know, the statute of secrecy now and underage sorcery. And at this point, she's like, it doesn't matter. Keep your wand out because there's nothing
doesn't
we
matter.
Can do about
we already
it at this
Band-Aid
point.
Off, guys.
Yeah. And if there's more, you know, Dementors coming around, I can't help you. So this is exactly what Dumbledore is afraid of. And we get this feeling that Dumbledore has been almost, it's almost as he's been waiting to see if this would happen all summer.
It's definitely just a stronger indicator that there's like more going on here than Harry knows, which can't help him feel any better. He was already pretty frustrated in that sense. And I think this just kind of solidifies his frustration that, yes, in fact, there are things going on that he is not able to participate in. And that, you know, they're kind of sheltering him and he does not like that.
Well, and you know, she explains, you know, look, I am here on Dumbledore's orders. I'm supposed to keep an eye on you because you're too young. She's like, I'm sorry I gave you such a miserable time every time you came over, but she's like, I couldn't have it, you know, the Dursleys think you enjoyed it or they wouldn't ever let you come over. And she's like freaking out. She's like, what is Dumbledore going to think once this happens? He's like, I can't even go tell Dumbledore because I can't apparate. Like, she is having kind of a meltdown about this whole thing. And Harry's like, Dumbledore, I don't understand what's going on.
I had to use
magic. There were Dementors, and she's just still freaking out. And again, she just yells at the top of her lungs on the street, "I'm gonna kill the Dungus Fletcher."
When he finally shows back up and she fills him in, he's like, "Oh no." And I love the moment where he says something to the effect like, "Someone should tell Dumbledore." And she's like, "Yeah, someone should tell Dumbledore." Like, she's got such a sassy response to him. And he's like, "Oh, I get it. Okay."
And then he leaves and she's like, "I hope Dumbledore murders him."
She is definitely a feisty old cat lady here.
It's fantastic. You know.
And so they get back in the house, and of course now he gets to deal with the Dursleys freaking out because Dudley is just completely out of it. I think this is where the actor does a pretty good job of just being completely out of it, this whole time and reverting to a very childlike state, and pointing fingers at Harry and telling his parents it's all Harry's fault. And you know, Harry trying to put the pieces together of something he doesn't really understand, knowing full well that Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia aren't going to believe a single thing he says, nor are they going to care. So it's a very interesting interaction we have, just the fact that we get sort of a family dynamic that we only usually get with Harry being very subservient to what's happening, and in this case he's very much so standing up for himself.
Well, and you know, he's just angry at this point. And then on top of that, owls start swooping in, sending him letters telling him he's been expelled from Hogwarts and that he will have
to surrender his wand
because they're gonna break it.
I know, and that's heartbreaking. And then he gets another letter that says, "No, just stay there, you know." Dumbledore's on it. From Ron's dad, Mr. Weasley, and it says, you know, like, "Nope, he's on it. Like, hang tight and do not surrender your wand." And then, of course, Harry's first thought is like, "Look, I'm going to have to fight people from the Ministry, and then I'm going to go to Azkaban, and like, this just doesn't end well for anybody. What do they want me to do here?" You know, he starts just going through all the scenarios of what is going on, and no one's telling him. And you know, the owls keep showing up, and I love the fact that every time an owl shows up, Uncle Vernon gets so angry. "I said no owls!" Like, it's
and Harry's
hilarious.
Like, "I'm not doing it! It's not my fault!"
He's like, "What do you want me to do? They're not going to stop coming." Like,
well, and it's really interesting because, you know, as all these owls keep coming, after we get Arthur's letter, which tells him not to leave his, you know, aunt and uncle's house, do not do any more magic, and do not, you know, surrender his wand. Uncle Vernon's like, "What the heck is going on?" And Harry explains about the Ministry of Magic and everything, and he's like, "Oh, people like you have a government? No wonder everything's going to the dogs." Like, he's just being such a jerk. But then he's also trying to get Dudley to tell him what happened, and Dudley starts kind of explaining how everything went dark and how everything got cold and he could hear things inside his head. And he's trying to explain kind of what happened to him and how it just felt horrible. And he's like stuttering for words, and Harry just begins to finish his sentence, which is like, "You'd never be happy again." And Dudley says yes. And that's the last thing that he can really say. And it comes out, you know, what are these Dementors? And Harry's telling them, you know, they're the guards of Azkaban.
No, that's actually the interesting part. So Harry tells him it's Dementors, right? And before he has a chance to tell anyone what they are, Aunt Petunia speaks up and goes, "They're the prison guards they're the guards of the prison Azkaban." And everyone's like, "Say what now?" Like, there's this moment where everyone's like, "I'm sorry, how do you know that?" And then Harry kind of goes on to finish the best explanation he can get out.
Well, and that's I absolutely love that part, because she tells a little bit about the fact that, you know, basically she heard Harry's dad telling it to her mom, her sister. And, you know, Harry is just stunned, because in all of the years that he's known them, this is the only time, other than her freaking out about her sister being a freak in the first book, that he's heard her speak about his mother.
Ever.
And the fact that they're sisters.
Right. And it's kind of the first, he says something to the effect of like, this is the first time he feels like he's reminded that this is his aunt, like that this is a family member of his.
Yes, yes, because there's this strange thing that comes over her when she says that. And my favorite is her explaining how Uncle Vernon is waiting for somebody to say that this is all like a joke. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting for somebody to go April Fools, and nobody does.
Just kidding.
And he doesn't even know what to do with it. And then the last owl comes in, and he's like, well, not the last owl, but one of the last owls.
Yeah.
He goes, enough effing owls.
Yeah. And then what's interesting about that is that, you know, so Harry's been like, okay, I'm going to leave. No, I'm not going to. He goes, I'm going to leave. And then he gets a letter from Sirius that says, don't leave the house. So he's like, fine, I won't leave. But he's just like, I changed my mind. I'm not leaving. And they're like, okay. And then Uncle Vernon loses it and is like, look, if they're coming for you and they're hurting my son, I want you out. I've done everything for you. I never wanted you here in the first place. Like, you've outstayed your welcome. Get out. He's kicking him out of the house when one of the very last owls arrives, and he screams at that owl and freaks out, and then they go, well, this owl's not for Harry. This owl is for Aunt Petunia.
Yeah, and what's interesting is right before she gets her howler, he's gotten the message from the Ministry of Magic revising their last owl, which says that you can keep your wand, but you're going to be coming before a disciplinary committee on the 12th of August, in which time we will make a decision on what's going to happen. And so then, of course, like you said, you get this howler from
an unknown sender.
Unknown source, and it's mm-hmm. not for Harry, it's for Aunt Petunia. And this is after the moment too where Harry has done all this explaining of why the Dementors are here, who's back, the fact that Lord Voldemort is back. And that's when, you know, Uncle Vernon starts just completely freaking out on him, telling him, leave, get out of my house, I don't want you here, I never wanted you here, all this stuff. And the howler, she opens it up, and it says, remember my last, Petunia. And everybody's just like, okay?
Yep.
And nobody says anything, and Uncle Vernon's kind of like timidly saying her name, and she's like, the boy will have to stay.
What's so interesting is this whole time you start with Harry realizing, you know, like, oh, she's my sister. This was I think he says something to the effect of like, this was the first time he was glad it was his mom's sister. Right. So she had some context of what was going on. And he said, this was the first time that, after Voldemort and all of that came out, you know, he was saying like, this is the first time she's looked at him with fear and wide eyed and not like disgust and like, he should get out of there. And he's confused. And then she gets that howler and he's even more confused and she won't answer any of his questions. But like you said, she's like, nope, he stays. And I love her justification. Like, what would the neighbors think? How would we explain this to anyone?
And you're like, pretty awesome.
That was pretty quick thinking on your feet. But I don't think that's the reason he's going to stay.
No. The thing that these, you know, the first two chapters have done is really create this sense of mystery about some things that we haven't really thought about for a long time, which is something that kind of got mentioned a little bit at the end of the last book, is that Harry would have to stay with the Dursleys over the summer.
Yep.
And why he keeps coming back here. And we do, I think, get the sense here with everybody telling him to stay put in his aunt and uncle's house, not to go anywhere. There's something going on here. Yep. There's some reason he has to keep coming back here. And I think she does a really good job with that mystery here. But there's this other thing that I think happens in this chapter that I find really interesting is as Dudley is trying to tell the story and everything, Harry thinks to himself, what in the world could Dudley's greatest fear be? What is it that the Dementors would pull out of him that would have him like this? Because he can't imagine him, this pampered, bratty child, having anything to really be fearful of. And yet we see the impact that it's had on Dudley. And I think one of the things that I'm going to be really fascinated to see is what effect this has on Dudley throughout the rest of the series. Does this change him in any way?
Yeah, I don't think I will ruin anything by saying this, but I have debated with people in the past that I feel like Dudley becomes a very dynamic character in the very literary sense, in that he starts as one character and becomes another by the time you're done, and sort of has an experience of his own in a character arc, be it slight and small. And I think this is really that tipping point for him. Cause like Harry, you know, like you said, Harry is wondering what his greatest fear is, because it does seem to have shaken him more than maybe it shook others that experienced similar interactions. And you know, from our experience with the Dementors and them going to Harry, you know, Harry hears his mother scream and die in this. So, thinking on that level, what is it that you know Dudley is experiencing that could kind of match that, is really fascinating. So yeah, that is kind of a small tidbit, but it will be interesting to see how that plays out over the next like book or two.
Well, and you mean you'll have the whole part of this where Harry has also saved his you know cousin's life.
Yeah,
and you know, so there's going to be that aspect as well. So does this create any kind of bond between them whatsoever because of that fact? You know, something like this does tend to bring people together. So I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how that plays out. And I love that how, you know, these chapters just piling on together, these first two just really back to back. How we get this sense of isolation that Harry's had. We get this sense of him just kind of being willing to explode at any moment. And we didn't think that it could really get worse for Harry, but this is pretty bad. You know, him having to use magic, breaking the Underage Wizardly Act. This is actually the first time, because it's not, he didn't do it before, because it was, you know, Dobby the first time with the cake. That was not
Harry.
But
he blew up his aunt.
Well, that's true, but they forgive that one because, you know, he couldn't control himself. Because we didn't mention this the first chapter, but that actually happens again when Uncle Vernon tries to grab him, and Harry gets so angry, something happens and Uncle Vernon gets like a shock and can't hold on to Harry anymore. So you know, we see that happening with Harry still, that magic comes out when you're so emotional. And I feel like having to go to a hearing at the Ministry of Magic, you know, this is pretty serious. And, you know, we got one of the letters that said that Dumbledore is going to be working on this and trying to fix things. But, you know, with the way this ministry has been going, how much power does Dumbledore really have these days? I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think, you know, it ends with them yelling at Harry to go to bed, but we're still left with so many questions as to what's going on. And we get, she's a very nice job of using the characters to tell you that you're not going to learn anything else right now. Like, by yelling at Harry to go to bed while he's asking those questions, it's the same as kind of telling the reader, like, I know you have those questions, but you're not getting any answers right now. So you best just go to bed and go move on to the next chapter. So she kind of wraps that up real nicely. And we don't really know what to expect next. So I'm excited for chapter 3.
You know, this is a really enjoyable beginning to the book, in the sense that she's already, like you said, I think in our first episode for this book, we just kind of dive right into the action, and a lot has happened in the first two chapters, and there's been a lot set up. And I feel like we also have a lot of character already happening for Harry. Just a very frustrated, hormonal teenager who...
Angry.
And it makes sense, you know. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy being hot. And when I'm hot for a long period of time, I get even more angry. You know, here where the heat outside has been unbearable for people, the heat inside of him has been unbearable because of everything that's happened, the nightmares he keeps having. I mean, he's not having a great life. He is not living his best life now. Let's just put
it
that way.
He's not living his best self right now.
No. So he is very frustrated with a lot of things, with nobody talking to him, nobody giving information, and very interested to see where we go in the next few chapters, and if he does finally get any answers to anything.
Or if he snaps.
Or if he snaps.
That's kind of the next step here. You can only pull a rubber band back so far before it snaps. So.
Very true. Can't wait to dive in to next week, Drea. But, you know, if anybody is interested in, you know, catching up with you, talking about the books or talking about anything Harry Potter related, especially as we're about to get to the Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, where can they find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's C-O-F-F-M-A-N.
And you can also find me on Twitter, MattRushing02. I'm on Instagram under the same name. Here on the network, I do a show with John Mills called Aggressive Negotiations, and we talk about Star Wars every week. It is a lot of fun. I hope you will check that out. I'm on the Trek FM network with a couple of shows. One is called The Orb. I do that with Chris Jones, and we talk about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. The next show is called The 602 Club, which is a general geek show, and we talk about all the fandoms we love. I mean, we run the gambit, so make sure you check that out. And last but not least, doing a show with my good friend Courtney called Cinema Stories. And that is where we talk about films through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your outposts.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.